Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the Crazy Sheet, you get you something cold to drink, and you get ready to talk to some, about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, and Scotty's at home, brother, getting ready for some Thanksgiving, for some hate week, some egg bowl. You got a lot going on this week.
Man, we got a lot going on. I'll tell you what, the Bulldogs hate week is always a fun time, so it will be... It'll be a good time. First time I have not been in Starkville. We're staying home for multiple reasons that nobody cares anything about. But first time I will not have been in the Egg Bowl in Starkville ever in my life.
Really? That's pretty impressive considering you're 50.
So that's an unusual time. So anyway, not going to be there. So I'm a little different. If I would, be figuring out how to get there if I didn't think we were going to get gas canned.
Oh, my dogs are so excited about rivalry week that they're even fighting as we sit and record this. So obviously the big game is this weekend when you talk about Ohio State and Michigan. But if you go across the board, there's so many great rivalry games. And one thing I want to point out before we jump into trying to backtrack last week you're covering, I think I read this where Washington and Washington State are going to work this deal out, or is it Oregon State, where they're going to keep the rivalry together after the conferences dissolve and they split apart? Which I
just, not seen that, but I hope that's right. I look for Oregon State to keep playing because I actually think, I mean, look, that's a game Oregon's kind of dominated, but it is always a good game, even when they've been really good and Oregon State looked pretty bad some of those years. It's been an interesting game. Let me say it like that.
Yeah, so, I do not like pride getting in the way of these rivalry games. We saw it happen in Texas A&M. Bedlam going away is ridiculous to me. That game's been played 108 times or something like that, and you know they're just going to be like, "Well, it's over, move on." And I
think that's stupid, and it's all ego. You said it right.
Yeah, it's
interesting. Couple things from last week. How bad has USC just mailed it in?
Wow. They have major problems. Like, just – I'm not talking about – Caleb Williams can still play. He's fun to watch. We talked about his attitude, whatever. But Lincoln Riley just needs to realize – I think he started there 11-1, and I looked the other day, and he's 7-7 in his last 14 games or something like that. And just trying to outscore people is not going to work. And they don't have – the roster's not that good. I mean, they've got some name brands on it, but they are a long way away from being competitive. Moving into the Big Ten next year is going to be really difficult, in my personal opinion. Because
they're going to get punched in the mouth by teams that have got more talent than them in some cases.
They don't have a roster to keep up with it right now. And so it's – and from what I've read, and I haven't dug into recruiting yet, but I don't even know that their high school recruiting is that good so far.
I wonder how much of this with them is NIL breakdown because there are some haves and have-nots. And let's face it, it's L.A. I mean, you've got Caleb Williams sponsored by Dr. Pepper and, you know, all these other guys. And then you've got some of these dudes, you know, they're making 10 grand a month, you know, and they're really good players because the numbers that everyone hears are wrong. I'm just going to tell you hear all these, oh, he's making $1 million. No, he's not. No, he's not. Trust me, I know. They're not. I mean, it is. I know what kind of money Ole Miss has got in their NIL, and they're paying as well as anybody that's not an upper marquee team. It's not like they're rolling around with $10 million.
Well, the rumor here is, because we play Lagway, you know, the kid that's going to Florida next year from Willis, and the rumor was he was getting $4 million in high school. And I go, that's not true.
Whoever said that, never believe anything they tell you ever again.
I go, $4 million? Man. I go, that's crazy. But anyway, it is what it is. Last week was fun. How about the crowd?
Washington, I want to talk about that game. We didn't pick that game.
Yeah.
How good were they last week in a rough environment? Weather was bad. I think they went and handled their business. Oregon just is, man, they look good. That rematch is going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And, Mark, I'm telling you, this is the part of college football where It is where things do get in the way. And the Pac-12 needing to go away if they're going to put games on Pac-12 Network and stuff like that where you can't watch real games, they need to go away. But having said that, they did this to themselves for so long. These teams are legitimately good. If there's two SEC teams doing this, I don't think there's either. There's no chance one of them doesn't make the playoffs. And I'm telling you, if Oregon goes and wins that championship, they may dick them.
I won't be surprised.
Everybody needs to know they heard that here first. This is probably the best league in the country, especially from the top five or six teams up. I think their six is probably better than anybody else's six. This is a good league, and those top couple of teams are really good. And Arizona has turned into a really good football team. They're so close to being 11-1 after this weekend that it's crazy. But you let them lose, and the way Bama's playing, and Bama goes to the SEC championship and beats Georgia, and then you got Michigan and Ohio State doing their thing. You better look out, Pac-12. You better look out.
Well, we have not had that weekend of chaos that typically happens that has saved the committee time and time again. And so it's going to be interesting.
This weekend, that year in 2007,
yeah.
It was this year. It was this weekend. That was West Virginia, Pittsburgh. You know, all that chaos that let LSU get into the natty with two losses.
Arizona wins Saturday and Oregon loses, and Arizona's in the Pac-12 championship game. And that
really, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. and that team was not good last year. And Jed Fish has done a hell of a good job with them. You move on to the Big Ten. Harbaugh not going to be at this game either. Coaching is Ohio State. Boy, it's going to be interesting on Saturday. I will say this. I was off on my handicap of that game really bad. The offense did not look as good last week. And I don't know if it's because, you know, it was another week without him. I just can't – I mean, defense
– and we blew that bet.
Yeah.
You know what? We should have seen that coming. That's all it is. It happens. It is what it is. But I don't think that has any bearing on this weekend. I think we have a really, really good football team. I saw a stat this week. Jim Knowles has only given up. You remember last year they had, what, five touchdowns? The long touchdowns of over 45 yards. Some of them were 75 and 80 yards. I mean, they had some huge gash plays in that ball game.
Right.
They only have one touchdown this year, 20 yards or longer.
It's going to be a good game.
I'm going to be fascinated to see how the defense does because they got embarrassed against these guys last year, but they're banged up. And who do they get back? Although it looks like their running backs are starting to get back. So that offense may be getting a little more right to maybe make up for it. So I think it's going to be a great game. I can't get away without talking about rivalry week what do you think the best rivalry in college football is?
Ooh. That's a good one. The Iron Bowl's always fun, or at least it has been the last
time. I think Iron Bowl's the best. Yeah. I really do.
There's so much weird shit that's happened in that one, you know, with Cam Newton with the comeback, the picks, you know, the kick six.
The stories go on and punt, bam, a punt. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just those games and records out the window. Those teams have been so good. I mean, and that rivalry has been bitter for so long. I mean, hell, Bear wouldn't go to the Plains to play. That's the reason they were always playing. And, you know, that is a fabulous football game for people that have never been. But I'm going to tell you there's no more hatred in a rivalry. You make an equal it, you can't get any more than State and Ole Miss.
Oh, no.
That's so nasty.
If those two teams were nationally relevant and people actually knew about it.
Oh, I mean, that game is nasty.
Yeah, that's it's pretty gross. I've been to it twice, and it's fun. And so, yeah, it'd be a great game. It's great that it's still on Thanksgiving night. Because Texas and Texas A&M screwed that up when they gave that spot away years ago. That'll be a good one to get back next year. Trust me, those guys are, you know, it's been interesting with A&M and Texas because 10 years ago, A&M was like, yeah, come on, guys, we'll play y'all. And now they're over there going like this. Oh, we're going to have to play Texas again next year. And it's like,
right. Nearly as fun now.
No, it's like, oh my God. You know what we should do? We should go get another Aggie sticker to stick on our Subaru so we can, you know, everybody knows who we're rooting for anyway. But yeah, so, and I went to Baylor. We don't even really have a rival. We just beat ourselves every week. And so we're just trying to get through that. But yeah, this week's great. We haven't had the chaos. It could still get weird. Like I said, the Pac-12 can eliminate themselves. I'm really interested to see this Florida-Florida State game. Florida State, if you didn't see it last week, Jordan Travis broke his ankle, you know, the hip drop tackle, which is 100% legal. But we've seen a couple of key injuries come through with that recently. And I kind of wonder if Florida State wins this game and then wins the ACC with a backup quarterback, if we end in the situation where we've got all that stuff at the top, if they don't look up and pull the easy cord and go, well, you know, they got a backup quarterback, so they shouldn't make it. And I always go back to the Ohio State where you got, you know, Braxton Miller gets hurt, JT Barrett comes in, carries him through the whole season. And then you get to the last game of the year and get Cordell Jones coming in. Or Cardell, is that right? Cardell Jones? The third-string quarterback for Ohio State. Yep. And they just body bag Wisconsin. And people thought Wisconsin was going to win that game. And they beat the dog out of them. And then they go on to win the national championship. And that was the year that Baylor and TCU.
Made him a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Made him a first-rounder.
And that was the year Baylor and TCU had the same record. The Big 12 just decided we wouldn't, you know, declare who won the championship. And so the committee just went, if you don't have a champion, then we don't need one. And so it's going to be interesting. This would be the first time ever that we've seen it where you actually could have a 12-team playoff, and I think it makes sense. But at the same time, I kind of think this is the direction the game's going. I think with the portal and NIL, I think that the talent pool's been pulled thinner. And so we're going to see better teams. I think it's not going to be odd where we're going to see an 8 team right now, you know, and a team that's seeded 8 or 12. It's like they could have a shot to pull an upset in the tournament once you get in. I wouldn't want to play Arizona, to be honest with you. If you're a, you know, if you're a mid-level seed and somehow Arizona gets in the tournament, or I wouldn't want to match up with the backup team in the Pac-12 either. I mean,
that's exactly right. the 12-team tournament, and again, kudos to Greg Sankey. The guys playing checkers chess when everybody else is playing checkers, that move going to them, because what he wanted was Texas and Oklahoma. But I think he also had the foresight to see, man, the portal is changing the game. Let's get our dudes in here sooner so we can get them here a year sooner. If we offer up the caveat of the 12th team, we'll probably be able to get that done. And boom, here it is, gets it done, and at great timing because – it is changing the game. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
And there now are more teams that are capable of beating the top teams.
Yeah. And I don't think it's as hard to get good either. Now, I don't think that the prime –
yeah, you can turn it fast.
Yeah.
It's not a 4-year process or 3-year process anymore.
Now, the prime experiment, I'm not knocking what he did. He came in. That roster was not good. It wasn't like he came into Colorado and it was good last year. They were one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country, if not the worst last year. And he knew that when he looked at the roster. My favorite game day sign I saw last week was the one that said Coach Prime sleeps with Shadur's mom, which I thought was but anyway. And I really hope Prime gets it figured out at Colorado. I think moving to the Big 12 is a great move for them. It'll be an easier conference. He can recruit Texas where he's still a legend.
Yep.
I think he's gonna get players in there. And I think, to be honest with you, at the high school level, he's gonna be able to recruit some players that he can get in there that he knows he can turn into NFL-style, you know, players. He's going to do it. So, anyway.
Mark, here's the thing on Colorado. They're right on their over-under win total. They just went over by a half game.
Yeah. And they should have lost 2 more games than they lost already. And so, it is what it is. But, hey, last week's behind us. That's all behind us, Scott. This is the best week of football. It starts tonight. If you're watching Tuesday Maction, this is the last one. I am almost exhausted from college football season. When you're having to do this every single day, there's a lot of reading going on. I have gone in so many different ways. Had a good weekend last weekend. How about Diego Pavia just going down to the Plains and getting the big win for the Fighting Jerry Kills over Auburn? I didn't see that one coming, but we had that one on the cover, so we called it right. And that puts us about 5-6 games, I think, a couple of units above in the Mendoza line with this coming up and then heading into bowl season.
Gives us double digits above the Mendoza line. Nice. So we are, I think we're plus 12 now for
this year. There we go.
63-51.
All right, brother. You ready?
Man, I am ready.
Here we go. Scotty, let's start out and get this one just out of the way as quickly as we possibly can. Ohio laying 14 against Akron. This game's going to be Friday at noon. I'm skipping the Egg Bowl because I'm coming back to it. It's going to be Friday at noon. This is an Ohio team that you and I had the highest hopes on of going into the season. And frankly, I thought Akron would be better. Both of these teams, in my personal opinion, have underperformed at different levels. Ohio's still 8-3 straight up, whereas Akron is 2-9. Ohio's not going to win the East. They're not going to get a chance to play for the MAC championship. This is a really good roster that for some reason could not figure it out offensively. Can they come on the road and get a game behind them and win this one by 14 and keep the season and get 9 wins with a chance to get to 10 on a bowl season?
Yes, this is more about the ineptitude of Akron. I mean, this team is not very good. This defense from Ohio is good, and it's going to give this offense all kinds of fits. I mean, Akron is only scoring 16.5 a game. I mean, that's it. I can't imagine they get above 13 in this ball game. That means I got to get to 27. That's the deal. I think I get it done. The over-under line is 41. I think that's what they're looking at, is a 27, 31, 13 game, something like that. I like Ohio to cover on the road against the Fighting Joe Moorheads.
But this game's packed. Moving on to our last MAC game we'll probably talk about, because you're going to have to dig to find some ways to bet on the MAC in bowl season, because there's some bad teams in the MAC this year. Scotty, Egg Bowl, Stark Vegas, getting 10 at home. Ole Miss, over-under's 55. Ole Miss is coming in here. They're 9-2. They win this one. They get 10 wins. If y'all win this one, you get to go to a bowl game if you want to. Get some extra practices. If you won this game, I bet y'all's roster would have less scholarship players on it than that LSU team that played in the Texas Bowl a couple of years ago with like 35 Scholly kids on that. You remember that?
After they I think we only dressed out like 41 against Tech a couple of years ago in the Liberty Bowl with Scholly guys. I mean, you know, look. There won't be anybody there. Fortunately, there's some sixth-year guys and fifth-year guys that would probably play. So, look, this game has changed perception a lot with the return of Will Rogers and Jaquavius Bobby, and I mean Jaquavius Marks. That's great, but you actually have to be able to throw the ball, and you have to be able to protect for Will Rogers to actually throw the ball. And I don't think they can. And I don't think this defense is good enough on the back end to stop this Ole Miss team. I don't. I think this line going down is nuts. I cannot figure out what everybody in Vegas is watching. Great, it's a rivalry. Great, State's fired up. Great. They've got Rodgers back. That's all great. They can't cover anybody. I mean, they are naked in the backfield. If you didn't watch that game last week, then you're not aware of how many times Southern got behind them. Hell, their first touchdown was set up by like a 75-yard TD.
Yeah.
You can't cover the Buzzards. You got no chance to cover Kiffin. He's going to find a way to get guys open and get some big plays. This is a talented offense. Kiffin is going to dial it up. Everybody is talking about that he seems like a different Lane Kiffin this week. I'll tell you why he seems different. Because he got his ass whipped last year in this game, and he got to find out on the end. He's been rubbing it in everybody's face for his first 2 years up there, and he's had to eat it for a year. And let me tell you, he doesn't enjoy it any more than anybody else, and neither does any Ole Miss fan. They're going to come out. They're going to play well. Minus the linebacker spot, there's not very many spots Mississippi State's better than them, and it ain't quarterback. Ooh. And I like Will Rogers. That's not a shot at Will Rogers at all. But at the bottom line is Jackson Dart's more talented than he is. They're more talented at running back. And we just talked about Marks coming back. And then every other spot, they're better. Offensive lines are both bad. Defensive line, State's got a couple of guys they would take. But other than that, that's it. Defensive backfield, they're better. I think Ole Miss wins this game. I think they win it comfortably. And I expect them to win this by maybe 3 touchdowns. I'm stunned this line's not 14.
Yeah, I agree with you. I bet this early, to be honest with you. I saw a 9.5 pop and took it because I was surprised it was as tight as it was. I know weird stuff happens. I've seen it. But the difference is I think these rosters are better now than they were in some of the weird games a couple of years ago when no one was relevant. And that's where I think the difference is going to be. I also think Kiffin is quietly one of the top 15 coaches in the country. And the fact that he's got this thing moving in the right direction, he's got a better roster that's here. I love the relationship that he's manifested with Jackson Dart. I watched it with Matt Corral. I thought Corral would be a hothead asshole. And by the time he graduated, he was a leader on the field. He played hard. His teammates wanted to play for him. You're seeing a lot of those same characteristics out of Jackson Dart. It's a big rivalry game, big win. Let's roll with the Rebels. Let's head all the way to Pacific Northwest on Friday. Oregon State be matched up in Autzen Stadium. Over under 62.5. Oregon's laying 13.5. I'm going to buy it right now before it hits 14. That seems like a big number. This Oregon team is playing really good. In my opinion, they're probably one of the top two teams in the nation. I've got a Washington ticket to win the conference. I've got a Washington ticket to win the Natty. I think both are still 100% live because I think those teams are very, very small separation between the two. But I think there's a big gap between Oregon and Oregon State here. And I think Oregon comes out and gets it done. And where I look forward is on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're going to really cause some problems for Oregon State in a shutdown. They don't give up a lot of explosive plays. And so I look for this team to really shut it down and be able to contain what Oregon State wants to do and possibly even shut down the run game and kind of make them one-dimensional a little bit with Uge Ondulele. And I just think he'll make a mistake. It's going to be on the road. I still don't have a lot of faith in the kid. But I like Oregon here to cover this one playing 13.5. I think they kind of win this one going away.
Man. I'm going to tell you something. This Oregon offense is really good. It's fun to watch, and kudos to Bo Nix. I mean, he got no coaching on the Plains, none, because Malzahn had never developed a quarterback. There's an internet rumor running around the States hiring Malzahn. God, I hope not. I may turn in my fan card. I mean, you can't win at Auburn. You sure as hell ain't going to win in Starkville, but that's a whole other story. I love that he's gone out there, gotten himself right. That's a great story. And he is having such a great season. I do think, and look, Penix is winning. They're undefeated, but and the numbers are very, very close. But Nick's just, and it may be even him and the flash and the Oregon jerseys and all that, because their numbers really aren't that different when you look at them and really kind of dive into it. I think Daniels is the Heisman winner. I think his numbers are just Tecmo Bowl-ish against the – just because LSU's average doesn't mean he is. He looks great every week. Just because that LSU defense sucks isn't his fault. That dude is a video game. So I think he ought to win the Heisman, but I think right behind are Nix and Penix. And I think Nix is having a great year. And I think the bottom line is they are – look, these stats are just nasty. And this gets down to Oregon State's going to really have trouble running the ball. You said the defense was going to be the difference. They're giving up less than 100 yards rushing, 3.4 yards a carry. They are averaging 196 yards on the ground and 6.1 a carry. Oh, and they throw for 350 and over 9 yards of an attempt. That is really hard to defend. And that is really hard to get a team behind the chains. And Oregon State needs this game to be lower scoring. And I just don't think they've got the horsepower to keep these guys under it. I mean, look at last week in the rain, how balanced that team was. They're getting the exact same thing, except this time they're on the road. Because there's not a dime's dollar of difference in these two teams. They're both great quarterbacks and really good football teams.
Give me the Ducks. We'll lay it. James Madison, baby, that's where we're going next. Let's go to the Dirty Myrtle and Coastal. The game day environment last week at JMU was fantastic. You couldn't hear
him, wasn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't hear him on the set. It was awesome. I've never been to a game there, but I've been to watch him play a couple times when they played in the FCS Natty. Great, great environment. And that team, I think what happened to him last week is just the pressure was just too big. I mean, you think about this as a team that went into the season hoping to be good, and now they're like –
talked about that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Their best player's out. And he was a game wrecker on defense, too.
Yeah. And it was like, let us go bowling, do all these things. And it just finally caught up to them last week. And they still almost won that game. This week, I think when they go to Coastal, they get a little grit in their teeth. This is their last game of the season. You're going to want to go out with a win, even though it's on the road. And then the other thing you got to go into this game is Grayson McCall, who he's out with a concussion. And I read some reports that said it hadn't been good. Like mentally, physically, he's not going to play. Vasco, the backup quarterback, he didn't play last week for Coastal, and they rolled with the third stringer. I think Vasco's going to be back. But I think JMU bounces back here, covers this game by 10. Even though they're out with the defensive ends out, I still think they were going to be able to shut down this Coastal Carolina defense. I mean offense. And I think James Madison goes out with a big win, probably wins by 14 in this one. And we'll give them the mythical Sun Belt championship, kind of like UCF won the mythical Natty a few years ago, and give them the belt. But I like JMU in this spot to cover this number and bounce back.
These teams are 15-7 against the spread combined.
Yeah, they're good.
These teams have both been cover machines this year, but I agree with you. I think James Madison gets it done on the bounce back, laying the 9.
Next one I got, Scott, is it's a hot one. You want to go – let's go with your three-team parlay that you got rolled up in here. This one's kind of funny. South Carolina, Florida, and NC State. Walk me through this one.
All right. Well, first off, I obviously Florida one's obvious, which I just want to say, man, that injury last week, that was nasty. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to do all we're doing, throwing guys out for the targeting, and I mean, hell, you hit a guy with a helmet in the stomach and it's targeting. I mean, it is asinine how far we've taken it. But we're going to let all these people sit down and break people's legs. I mean, because he's just smooth. And look, I understand it's a tackling technique, you know. But we're losing great players. You saw Mark Andrews do it in the NFL. You see Florida State lose their literally Heisman Trophy potential winning quarterback get his leg broke. I mean, and it was a nasty break. I mean, his leg was nasty. Can we please outlaw this sit tackle bullshit?
They probably will.
Because that's what it is. But that gets back to why this game is why I think Florida covers. This is a great rivalry game. I think, obviously, Jordan Travis is such a difference maker. Florida State is more talented. They are the better football team, blah, 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 and go on and on and on and on. But they just lost a really, really good football player. Oh, and they got to go on the road to play the Gators, who actually played pretty darn well last week on the road at Mizzou. Mizzou had to get that win late in that ball game. So I actually like the Gators to get to 6 wins and get the upset this week to start a little bit of pandemonium and clear the board for the group and the committee. And then my next game is South Carolina +7. Gamecocks just haven't quit. And I'm not positive this team's not equally as good or better. I think the 7's a gift. They're at home. I think they got a chance to get against Jimbo. I'm starting to think that might have been Jimbo's brother that called in.
Tell me, Dabo.
Dabo's brother that called in. Because they've looked so much better since that rant on the phone call. I mean, they have been a significantly better football team, but they're still very, very flawed. And that defense for South Carolina should scare everybody. They had no business on the field with them last year, and they figured out how to get it done on the road. I think the Gamecocks can do it twice, but I love the numbers here. I like all of these numbers as an upset because you're getting great odds. So we're talking about a parlay. And the next is NC State because I just can't figure out North Carolina. I mean, they did not look very good last week. I mean, I was completely underwhelmed. I thought they made a ton of mistakes, you know, and here they go on the road to NC State who quietly is 8-3. I mean, nobody probably realizes it because they've lost a couple of games that people were actually paying attention to them, and they lost and didn't play great, and then, boom, they've carried out the rest of their schedule, and now they're 8-3. I like all three of these teams. Wrap it up in a parlay, but you got a chance to make some money taking the numbers of these guys because I think these are going to be close football games everywhere. Home dogs getting points. Take you a little, just a little pizza money on the little pizza money on the parlay, and then take these guys. Take one or two of these guys with the line, with the number. And if you're brave enough, you really like one of them, just take it money line and find yourself a nice payday on Saturday.
It'll be a nice three-game money line parlay payout, or you could put it into a round robin. A three-gamer, that would pay probably about 12, 15 to 1. I'd have to do the calculations on it with the numbers that you've got into it. So, yes, that will be some fun for some pizza money. Next one, Scotty, let's go back to the Pacific Northwest. Talk about UW and Washington State. This is an interesting game here. Like UW's one of those teams that's like, it's been good all year. They haven't lost yet. They've got marquee wins. And if you go look at their record at the end of the season and look who they played, I mean, they're going to end up having played and beaten 3 to 5 top 15 teams when it's all said and done. I mean, depending on where you want to put Utah and those types of things. And so this is a solid squad. They're going to be at home Saturday afternoon. Best thing I can tell, I don't think the weather's going to be terrible. But this Washington team has just shown that they can get it done. And I think they're going to crush Washington State. I love Cam Ward. I think he's fun to watch. And I think the Washington State story was great when they came out early this year and they won 5 or 6 in a row. Well, they've dumped 4 of their last 5 games with their only big win coming over Colorado. They've had some close ones. But this UW team, I think they can see it. And they realize we got to take care of business, get this one done. I think they're very well coached. I think they're very well led. I love Kalen DeBoer. I think they get this one done in big way, moving on into the Pac-12 championship the following week. I think this one they run out by at least 21.
I just think they're too one-dimensional, Mark, to beat this football team. And I think that is really what it gets into. They'll turn the football over a couple of times on the road. And I think that's how this number gets covered for Washington. They're one-dimensional, which makes them make some mistakes. May lead to some big plays, too, but it'll make them make some mistakes. Washington is a really, really good football team, and the bottom line is they'll get juiced to play this ball game, even though last week was a big game as well. Not hard to come back when you're at home and play really well 2 weeks in a row, especially when it's a rival. So there's no hangover for me here. I like Washington to lay the points. They're just that much better than was it.
Yes. Let's go down to the Bayou. LSU, Texas A&M will be playing in a common spot for LSU at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm joking. I don't even know if the Cajuns will be awake for this one by the time they get there. This is an interesting spot because last year A&M won this game, and LSU had already secured a spot going into the SEC championship, but they won this game. This LSU defense is not that great, but neither is A&M's offense. I still think you can get some points in here. I'm going LSU on the explosion. I think Brian Kelly wants Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman, and I think that was evident last week when you watched him against Georgia State. I think we see a lot of fireworks in this one as well, and I think they beat that ass, but they cover a big number, and I think that LSU walks away and they get this one as a win, but I'm going over the total at 66.5. I think A&M, if they get a chance, is going to hang a double nickel on these guys.
I think LSU's probably going to score 50. I mean, I really do. I think they're going to score in the 40s. And I think A&M's going to have a chance to score too. So I think his number may be a little big because I told you I like the quarterback for A&M. He looked great against State, looked good again last week. Makes them a little more, you know, a little more balanced. So I think they're going to be able to score on a putrid LSU defense. I mean, hell, Mississippi State's the only team that hadn't been able to score on them all year.
It's crazy how bad it is.
I mean, it is really bad, but Daniels, you know, is just going to put up video game numbers. So, yes, I like the big 66.5. Let's go over. I like it because I think they get to 40.
I got a couple more games.
Averaging 40.
Yeah.
They're averaging 46 a game, almost 47 a game.
Yeah. A couple more games I'll throw out there. I haven't decided if these will be official picks yet or not. Jacksonville State traveling to New Mexico State. It's going to be a game no one's going to watch. It's actually going to be a really good game. I like Jacksonville State here. It's a bad spot for New Mexico State after that huge win at Auburn last week. But and I'm not saying just because of the spot. And Jacksonville State can get it done. I've watched a lot of games that this team's played. They got some tempo. I like what Rich Rod's done there. They got a lot of grit, a lot of fight. And New Mexico State's already locked up a spot, I think, to play in their conference tournament the next week. So I'm thinking you could see a little bit of a look past spot here, get you a Jacksonville State upset. And then the other one I like is UTSA Tulane over the total. I love Tulane, love Willie Fritz. What the defense has been a little bit suspect at times here for this Tulane team. And UTSA with Frank Harris, and you know, he's almost a doctor at this point. He's been in school so long. They can put up some points at over 52. So I've probably got a little lean on both of those that I'll decide if I'm going to play as we get closer to Saturday.
Yeah, I like the other couple of games that I like. I have been riding Arizona and riding them and just going to take this bad boy all the way to the end. Give me the 11.5 at Arizona State. This is a good football team. They changed quarterbacks.
And one. Clear,
and they're 11-1. That's about, they're headed. They're playing Saturday for 11-1. They have, if they had changed quarterbacks, no chance they lose to Mississippi State. Remember, they had 5 picks in that game. I think State's had like 2 since then. I mean, seriously, I'm not kidding. I know they hadn't had 5 since then. So, I mean, it is a different deal. Jet Johnson is our leading interception guy, by the way, also our middle linebacker. Yes, that's a middle linebacker. And he has a stunning 3. 2 of them were in that Arizona game. So that is just a game to keep your eye on. And then I kind of like Oklahoma at TCU. TCU's a hot mess, not very good. Oklahoma's at home. I kind of like them here to get this done against the Dykes crew.
I can agree with that one. TCU's been a mess for a bit. I knew they would get up big for the Baylor game last week, but I don't know how much they got left in the tank. So that being said, Scotty, that's my board, brother. You got anything else you want to throw out there?
No, man, I think that is it. We are, I'll tell you, I'm excited about this weekend. I love watching these games, the passion of these games. There are some rivalry games that I cannot wait to go to. I think we have decided that me and a group of dads are going to start taking our boys to a game every year, and we're going to just start out going rivalry weeks first. Just go full on. Just get indoctrinate them early. I mean, there will be some great games, Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, there's going to be some great games because we're going to start basically mid-November to the end of the year and to take some games. I've been to several Alabama-Auburn games, but really look forward to that. So it's going to be a good time. Unfortunately, I will not be able to get a couple of games because obviously realignments are changing them. So we'll see, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
That being said, folks, everybody have a wonderful, safe holiday. Enjoy you some turkey. Hopefully next week I'll have my voice back, but I doubt it because I'll be sitting at another high school football playoff game on Saturday, which I'm sure I'll get too excited and start screaming my ass off again like I did last week.
Who are they play this week?
The Woodlands plays this team called Duncanville this week.
And so, yeah, they're terrible. They're so, not good.
So, yeah.
Well, don't know Texas high school football, Duncanville's a football factory. Yeah. So the Woodlands is likely to get absolutely destroyed, and they've got probably 8 or 10 guys that are going to play D1 at the Woodlands.
I think there's 4 or 5 on our roster that are going to go D1. But, yeah, the edge rusher that plays for Duncanville, he literally last year, he looks like he lines up in our backfield to start the play because he is so fast coming around the corner. So Colin Simmons is his name. So, yes, if you got nothing to do, just do your little search on Duncanville football. There's some – the Duncanville DeSoto game on TikTok is pretty interesting to watch. I think there were 37 personal fouls in that one, but we'll see. That being said, everybody have a great week. We'll be back next week as we get ready for conference championship games. Hopefully we've got a few more dollars in our pocket as we are trying to wrap this one up with yet another winning season.